Glad each of you is here this evening. We think about the struggle of human existence here on this earth as we strive as Christians, knowing that we're of the light, that we're of the day, that our lives are to be characterized by holy living, which means separate from the world. Nonetheless, there's the struggle against temptation, and we often yield to that temptation and commit sin. And so what are we to do in the struggles that we have in life, this greatest struggle against sin, which of course determines where we spend eternity, where we exist for all eternity? And of course, the answer to that question relates to some things that are spoken of in 1 John chapter 1, because it remains true that temptation is with us all our days, that Satan, though he may at times when we resist him and he flees from us, will resume his efforts to cause us to abandon God. He wants us to do that. So he's constantly coming back again and again. And what we have to do as we fight that battle is to remember that when we do fall into sin, we cannot, as many have in the past, and we read of them in the Scriptures, harden their hearts, refuse to accept the correction, but rather be of tender hearts, of humble minds and wills, and to acknowledge our waywardness, turn back to God, and let Him receive us. But this process is described here in 1 John chapter 1. Beginning in verse 5, we read these words: "This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth." To have fellowship with God means that everything is good, that we are working together with God, we are in a right relationship with God. No sin is separating us from God, but that we are faithful to do His will. That's having fellowship with God. There's the oneness. 2 John verse 9 tells us whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ has not God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ, he has both the Father and the Son. So you see, connection, fellowship maintained with God is conditional upon keeping His Word, abiding in the doctrine of Christ, what Christ taught us. So here, those who might claim to have fellowship with God, but actually live, when it says walk in darkness, that means we're living in sin some way, that there's something that we haven't gotten rid of from our lives. We might be justifying it. We might actually be doing it in ignorance, not realizing that this is a sinful thing. Or there may be something that we're supposed to be doing that we're neglecting and we're not doing. But either way, if we're walking in darkness, he says, if you profess to be one with God, but you're living in darkness, he says, it's a lie. He says, we lie and do not practice the truth. That's interesting. Truth is something we can practice. Not just believe, I believe the truth, but truth is to be put in action. Truth must be practiced in order for it to be of benefit to us. I might acknowledge all the Bible, that it is true, it's from God, that it applies to me, but if I don't do it, it does me no good. Here are those who are essentially living a lie. We cannot walk in darkness. Here's what he says, though. Verse 7, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. So, fellowship that is mentioned in verse 6 is fellowship with God. So if we walk in, if we live in sin, we don't have any fellowship with God. Another interesting aspect of that, which is implied in verse 7, is that if we're living in sin, if we're walking in darkness, we also do not have fellowship with other faithful Christians. That fellowship is broken. And it's broken because faithful Christians know that if a brother or sister in Christ is living in sin, that they have to follow the procedures given by God in His Word to restore them. But here, if you do walk in the light, fellowship is enjoyed with each other, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. The picture is, here's someone who is living according to God's law. It doesn't mean, verse 7 doesn't mean, here's someone who never commits sin. But to walk in the light means that you are living according to God's ways, including what you have to do when you do stumble into sin. You repent, you acknowledge that sin, turn back to God, and resume your walk. That's someone who's walking in the light. And someone who does that has the blood of Jesus Christ continually cleansing them because they're accessing it. They're humbling themselves, turning back to God and away from the sin that they fell into. But he points out in verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Truth, of course, exposes our lives for what they really are. All we can do, if we want to be eternally in heaven, all we can do is just accept and embrace the truth. Because the truth shines on our lives and exposes everything that is there, whether good or whether evil. So if I have things in my life that are not as they should be, and the Word of God is shining upon those things and exposing those things, what do I need to do? I need to embrace them. Because if I say, no, this is not sinful at all, then he says, what? We deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. You see, in the end, the last day, we're going to be judged according to the truth. We must embrace it and follow it now. Because if we reject it, it doesn't really matter because we'll have to face it in the last day. So we must face it now so that we can live right before God, so that the truth will be found to be in us. And he explains in verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So he shows us the only way to be right with God, acknowledging where we stray from him. As David did when he was coming face to face with his sins, he says, I have sinned. Acknowledge that. And we shouldn't do that just when we have no other way to turn, when we're confronted by someone about it, but as we ourselves look to God's Word and study and grow, we need to have the tenderness of heart to do just what he says here. Acknowledge our sins and know that when we do so, we have a God that will just wipe it all away, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We are once again without spot, without blemish before God, even though we had fallen. We are cleansed, we're prepared, we're ready to meet him. If you live in that state, walking in the light, taking care of your sins whenever they surface, whenever you stumble, then you live with hope. You live with hope. We don't want to be those who essentially make God a liar. And the only way we do that is if we deny the truth of God's Word, and we reject his correction, reject his instruction, and do not embrace it and humble ourselves. So the picture and the path is clear. There is a way to always be ready and always be right before God, not being sin-free, but handling it in the proper fashion as we see here, with humility, acknowledging, yes, confessing our sins before God, who will always receive us and cleanse us completely. Tonight, if you're here not a Christian, the problem of sin is remedied by turning to Christ initially. Those words that we just read were wrote concerning those already a part of the family of God. But before one is in the body of Christ, there is the response that needs to come forth, as we see in the various examples that we find in Scripture. People came to Jesus Christ and became a part of God's family by first believing, being convinced by what they heard, the truth, convinced them that Jesus is the Son of God. And then embracing that truth, they turned away from a life of sin and they acknowledged their faith in Jesus Christ. They were baptized, and in that act of baptism, all past sins were completely washed away. It is then that in the life of a child of God, when we do stumble, and we will, that we follow the explanation, the procedure given to us there in 1 John chapter 1. Humbly turning to God and acknowledging our waywardness, and God is that loving Father who receives us, cleanses us, and restores us completely back to his side. If you need to come to your Father tonight, we encourage you to do that as we stand and sing.